Podcasting 2.0 for September 18th, 2020. This is episode number 3, our first board meeting. That's B-O-A-R-D, not B-O-R-E-D. Reinventing something, reimagining a lot. It's time. We have a quorum, I believe. I hear Dave Jones there. Dave, my partner in podcastindex.org.
Motion you put out.
We have literally not spoken to each other. I think, did we talk to each other on the phone since the last podcast? I don't think so.
No, absolutely not.
Now, you've also been heads down because you've had a lot going on at work. We both have actual other day jobs.
Yeah, you have like 16 podcasts you're doing right now.
It's nice though because the studio is getting a lot of use, and I got my new desk coming, which I've been waiting for. Oh man, 3 months now I think. A custom desk.
When is it coming?
Hopefully next week. You know, this is the guy Drew Teague, who I found here in Austin. Who moved from California.
Yeah, he did Rogan's desk too, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Joe needed a desk. And he's like, I said, well, all right, I'll put mine on hold. And he made the table. That's a nice-ass table. It doesn't quite show up right in the new studio settings, I guess. But
is it going to have like a stain, or is it going to be raw, or what? Like,
no, it's laminated. Mine's going to be... the one I have now, it's a geek desk, so it's adjustable in height, up and down.
Yeah.
I've had this for years. I've had this for, gosh, I want to say 6 years. I had two of them, actually, at one point. And the motor's still good, knock on wood. So just replacing the whole top with an entire new custom setup. And it's custom for me because I like to take the same rig that I use here at home in the studio when I'm going on the road. So it has to kind of, you know, it's not going to be rack mounted.
Right.
Basically, I decided on this portable rig is just so much easier, man. Even just having a different laptop on the road and you fire that thing up, it's like, oh, hold on. Why don't you wait a day while Windows 10 figures out where you've been all this time?
you're totally deconstructible. I mean, you can take the whole thing apart and just throw it in a case and take it with you.
Not even that. It's just I got an over-the-shoulder camera bag. That's the majority of it. And I put the microphone boom arm in the suitcase. And then I have a small roller bag, which I can just put all kinds of stuff in, and I'll put the screens in there because I got three. I have a Surface Pro 6, I think, and then I have two screens.
The Surface Go.
I have the Surface Go is my go-to machine. That's my daily driver running Lubuntu. I love that machine. I can't take advantage of any of the touchscreen or any of that. But it's just such a nice, small little keyboard. The format's perfect. You can clap that thing up, almost put it in your back pocket, take it along. Now, I like that thing a lot.
But isn't it slow? Like, I've heard everybody knocks on it because it's slow. And if you're running, like, virtual machine with Ubuntu,
I'm running virtual machine.
I can't believe you're getting away with that.
Well, I have the SSD. So I got the 8 gigs of RAM memory.
Yeah.
And then I think it's 256 gigs SSD. The SSD is what makes all the difference, as usual. So I have a virtual machine on a USB drive, which I do. that's my whole life is on a USB drive, and I have it, you know, installed on three different computers.
That's as weird as comic strip blogger running Linux on his iPad. Which I still don't understand. It's somehow he wrote example code in it.
I saw it. Well, the two-thirds of the organization is here. So this is an actual kind of partner board meeting, and we haven't really updated each other. There's a lot of stuff to cover since we kind of, yeah, we opened up, you know, the call to launch, but the API is open. We've got some people. Let me just make sure that I've got everybody here on the list. So we had Pod News, who've integrated podcastindex.org with their search. Right. Then we have Fireside, which is Dan Benjamin, and he's now.
Is that Dan Benjamin?
Dan Benjamin.
5x5.
Dan Benjamin has like 18 different companies.
Oh, okay. All right. He's one of those guys.
He's here in Austin. And he actually integrated pretty early on. Somehow I didn't really see that he had done that. Because you got to let me know, people, when you've done something. Yesterday we had the Captivate launch, which was really nice because they did a whole professional press release. And you know, it was fun. I was like, oh, let me write a quote from me. Let me see what I'm going to say. What did you think of my quote? I like my quote there. It's like, oh, yeah.
That was beautiful. I mean, it was amazing. You blew me away with it.
Oh, please.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, they get my quote would have been, that's great.
Yeah. You'll get to do your quotes as many as you want. Yeah. Many as that's great. By the way, Dave is in a server room, in a data warehouse. Where are you?
Yeah, sorry. It's all right. I got UPS units blowing back.
All right. It's okay. So if people are wondering what the noise is.
Let me see if I can move my mic out.
No, don't worry about it. We have a full-on integration into the HyperCatcher app. I think that's using, and are they using us completely or they have their own?
Just for search.
For search. Okay.
Yeah. He switched over to search for us, but then he's using, I think he's still pulling feeds locally for his app, which to me is great.
Yeah. It's a great combo. Yeah. So what am I now besides when I want to talk about some people, some developers who've come in and some of the things that it might be actually easy if I say, okay, here's what I'm seeing. You could tell me what's really going on because we opened up a Mastodon instance, which I think is probably a good idea.
That turned out great. When you first said that, I was like, oh man, it's another place to check. I'm not sure how that's going to work. But then like it's turned out, that's been great. It's been really great to have like a direct pipeline. But I like Mastodon because what I don't like about things like Slack is that they expect you to be all over them all the time. It's so instant. And it's like, it just tethers you to a certain thing.
No, Slack is evil. Easier. Slack is completely evil. It is ruining children in our corporations in America. I have invested in it because of this reason. I'm like, wow, I should buy some. Oh yeah. I made like $800 or something on, just before the lockdown, like, and then I saw it go all the way down, like, oh, I'm fucked down here. I just let it sit. And then, I was like, oh, okay. Made some money. Because I'd seen it. I knew what Slack was. It's like, I know Microsoft is going after them with Teams and, then with Zoom.
It's crack.
But and the kids don't like it. I mean, yeah, they do. But I think it's destructive because you can create the private channels and bitch and moan about people. And then, of course, an admin, can be convinced for the CEO to go look at those channels. It's just all a bad idea. And it's in your pocket. It's bleeping. It's got badge counts, everything. Yeah. And
it's corporate crack.
Yeah. It is the BlackBerry of social networks. That's a pretty good way to look at it.
That's a terribly accurate analogy.
So the Mastodon instance, and I decided to eat my own dog food because I'm always telling everybody, you don't need these. You don't need to go with Silicon Valley companies for things. GitHub, of course, now is also really is Microsoft, although it's still functioning the way it should, as far as I can tell. But there's this kid. I think it's Hugo. He may be in Portugal actually. And a couple of years back, when I was setting up the noagendasocial.com, I found this masto.host, masto.host. And he does virtual instances. I think it used to be €5 a month, and his basic plan is now $9. But I think the most you can go up to for really a full blown instance is €39. So I took some middle tier option, but the guy's really good, and he gets it up and running for you pretty quick. And I've never had a problem with it.
Is it go to a website and launch it, or is it like you contact him and say, "Hey, can you roll me something?" And he just gets
Go to a website, masto.host, and you input everything, and then it says, "Okay, we'll send you an email." Now I set this up one evening and there was a screen that came back. It's 4 a.m. now in Portugal, but the minute our staff, Hugo, wakes up, we'll get right on this for you.
Wow, man. He's Johnny on the spot.
Yeah. Well, and he has quite some infrastructure he's built. I don't know. I mean, I've just seen him flourish and I'm really, really happy because that's the kind of thing that, especially because of the federated nature of it, can work really well just for small groups. And this is the first test I've done outside of No Agenda Social. So it's podcastindex.social. And you can click on the invite from our developer page, api.podcastindex.org, or hit us up if you need one. So yeah, that seemed to be working pretty well. And within a short amount of time, I think we have 50 people on there, a combo of users, developers. We saw young master Trent come in, who is here in Austin, and he's doing some design on the web pages itself. Of course, the infamous comic strip blogger, who I have to say has impressed me to a great degree with his insight and coding skills. And, you know, I've had a long, long, long relationship with comic strip blogger going back to the pretty much the beginning of podcasting, Daily Source Code days.
Is he Dutch?
No, he's Polish.
Okay.
I think he's, yeah, I'm not sure what nationality he has, but I think he comes from Poland. Okay. And yeah, he's doing some code, and you seem to be vibing with him.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, he puts out stuff, and I mean, I've like half. Well, I split off the GitHub organization. I split it off into two groups. Now we have all the Podcast Index proper stuff. And then now we have a separate organization for example code, and literally 2/3 of the example code org is Comic Strip Blogger. Now,
what kind of code is this? What do these bits of code do?
I've been real happy because people have been posting example code and just taking the format and the template of the other. I think Comic Strip Blogger kind of started this whole thing. He basically just has his code in a certain style naming convention and the way he does it with the API keys separated and that kind of stuff. And so he kind of set the standard, and everybody's just kind of falling in. When other people submit example code, they are pretty much just kind of following that same format.
Ooh, I love that.
It works great.
Yeah, you know, shit that you like start
naming.
Yeah, stuff that you start at the beginning that just kind of sticks and everybody does it is beautiful.
Yeah, it's working out.
It's really also well. Where there's stuff that we'll do that we'll regret in 20 years from now. Like, fuck, why do we ever do that?
Oh, yeah. Well, we may regret this whole thing in 6 months.
So the code that he's submitting, is that code for integrating into different languages so you can access the API? Or so it's just like a starter script to get API a hello examples. World type thing?
Yeah, it's all hello world to get to hook up to the API. So there's one in... There's Go, there's Node.js, there's Swift, C#, Java,
wow,
Python, Lisp, and Flutter.
The Lisp.
And now not all these are Comic Strip Blogger.
I think wasn't one of our someone on a podcast index.social talking about doing a what is the not VI, but Emacs, doing an Emacs integration? Is that what the Lisp is for?
Oh, it may be. Yeah, let me see if I can.
I think I saw someone post like, "Yeah, I always wanted a podcast app in my Emacs."
Oh, that's cool.
That's like that's very weird, but I think yeah.
Nice. Okay, Matt is the guy's name that did the Elisp. I don't see his last
name.
That's
incredible.
Matt is the guy that did that.
For those of you tuning in wondering, is this just about, you know, a bunch of coders? No. We have has set this up as a project to see kind of where the community takes it. We have some general ideas and some vision of what we want to do with it. Obviously, there's a little bit of confusion, or not as much as I expected. People saying, well, how do I get my podcast in the index? And that seems to be something that we could focus on right now. As I said, we already have a couple people who have systems that help you list into the index. Do we have other apps or hosters or anything on the horizon? I saw Todd Cochran hanging around. I don't know if Blueberry's going to participate.
I don't know. I hadn't heard anything on that. Okay. No. See, is it RSS.com? Those guys, are they auto-submitting?
Yeah, I think so. Who were they again? I remember seeing them. I know they were going to.
And I think Transistor maybe as well.
Yeah,
I spoke wrong on the last show. John Buddha is the guy's name. That from Transistor.
Ah, he was right.
I emailed a couple of times. I think those are the ones we know. To talk about that for a second, I you know, there's no real public way to add feeds to the index. And I'm completely comfortable with that at the moment.
Me too. Because, me too.
You know,
go ahead.
There's so much sensitivity around duplicate feeds and feed fraud and that type of deal. And what I would really love more than anything is for the like for the developer portal to be the only place to add feeds for the foreseeable future, and for most of the feeds and the podcast data to come in from podcast networks and publishers.
Right.
Because we trust those guys. We already have a system set up where you can't add a feed except manually through the developer portal, or unless you have a read write API key, and you have to ask permission, you have to request that, and we review them. I review each one of those to make sure it's not some, you know, janky made up Gmail address. And then, you know, if for batch adding of feeds to the index, you have to have a publisher key, and that's a manual process. You can't even request that. So, for people like, you know, Transistor and Captivate and these guys, Fireside, they can get a publisher key, and that makes the whole process simple for them. And also it makes sure that we don't get in a situation where we have somebody just dumping garbage feeds into the index. But of which we can roll that back. We have we have logs, but we also have a table that records every feed that gets added and which developer account it came from. And so if we notice shenanigans in there, we can immediately...
Yeah, we can take it down the line and find out and contact people. Or contact and say, hey, what's going on? Figure out who's doing what to whom.
Yeah, and if it was you know, some shenanigans, we can just roll it back and take all those feeds out. You know, somebody dumped 100, you know, fraud feeds in there, we can just pull it out.
So I like this a lot because it really brings together the entire community. And, you know, I would say most hosting companies are, you know, they're commercial, but they're independent and commercial in nature. So if you're hosting a podcast, if you're using one of these services, you know, shoot them an email and ask them to add the podcastindex.org to their feed submission process, which I think most of them have now.
Yeah. It's so easy for them. I mean, like, it doesn't really require much code at all. And it's really just a single API call when somebody creates a new feed, if they want to auto submit, or like Captivate did, they just put an extra button on their page that says, oh, do you want to submit to Apple? Right. All these other ones will also, how about this one too? And what I would like, I don't know how you feel about this, but I would like there to be the same process in reverse as well. So like, one thing I think we need is an API call, that just lists basically every feed that has been added, and basically a fire hose of feeds that have been added. And so if somebody, let's just say somebody else out there is running an index as well, or a direct,
yeah, they just want to get our updates, then we can just blow it to them, whatever they're missing.
They don't have to scrape us. They don't have to pull. They don't have to hammer.
Please, let's not scrape people.
Yeah. Don't do it. We're going to give you every possible way to get everything in the index. And if all these other publishers and networks are pushing to us, then we'll just pump it right back out.
Exactly.
And you can just follow that one single fire hose feed, and you don't have to even scrape or anything, and you'll get it all.
I think it's really interesting we'll see how it goes. But as you were saying, and there was a lot of, I think it's died down now, but there was some conversation about, bogus submissions and fraud feeds. That's a big one. And I think the fraud feed is really something that gets mitigated when we have, you know, the partnership of hosting companies and submission interfaces in between us and the person with the feed. I think that's kind of a cool idea. It's a very federated type of way of doing it, and I think it keeps it clean, but also still removes the process of, oh, please, someone approve it. You know, no, you're in. As long as you're not, you know, as your partner that you're doing your feed with thinks you're okay, that's good by us. That's some version of trust there. I think it's good.
Well, you know, if you're, let's just be honest, there's not a lot of podcasts out there that do what you do. So you have your own CDN. You host your feed from your the No Agenda feed and MoFax feed,
right?
And this feed from your own location. So you're completely independent on the distribution side, and that's not very common. Most podcasters are going to go through a publisher or some sort of network, and they'll pay for hosting or whatever they need to do. And so if that's, let's just say, I'm making up numbers here, let's just say that's, 80% plus of podcasts follow that model,
mm-hmm.
then a loosely coupled system of directories, like let's just say Blueberry,
mm-hmm.
Captivate, Transistor, all these guys, Libsyn, let's just say they're all feeding into Podcast Index, and then we're feeding back out to all of them. Well, when Libsyn adds a new feed, it shows up in the fire hose. Now Blueberry and all the rest of them can pick it up. We all distribute amongst each other, and then what you have is not a single silo of feeds.
Right.
Everybody participates, and if one element of that goes down, if Apple goes off the radar,
or whatever,
any of the other ones, yeah, then the whole thing still stands.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
What I'm missing, the one thing I expected to see someone show up doing, is a very simple web-based search interface. Just a web page that has, search the index.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like the easiest app to make. It's any web developer, I think, can do it. Just a simple web search, and then everything's there. You can make beautiful results pages. You can add icons, for people to subscribe. And it's such an obvious one. I think it's too big that people can't see how, I could do that, because we're not doing it. You see, that's what is so different, I think, about our approach, is we don't want to compete for your, let's just call it your customer. We want to provide you with all the plumbing and everything else that's needed to preserve this, to keep it going. I mean, we just saw Amazon launch, was it yesterday, I think.
Yeah, what did you think about that?
Well, when you have something like that, you immediately download the app. I don't use any, that's not true. I do use one or two third-party apps from my smartphone at home. So I loaded the Amazon Music podcast app, and immediately, No Agenda. What's in there? No Agenda. There's a shitload of No Agenda, but not our show, which is good, because I had not submitted it. But what was interesting is just before we started today, I received an email, and it says, your podcast is now on Amazon Music.
Really?
Sent to adam@curry.com. So if they were polling feeds, I have an account with Amazon, but I've never logged into their podcast area. I've never submitted anything. Hello, podcaster. I'm getting all jitty over the personalization. Hey, podcaster.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, loser.
Yeah.
We're excited to let you know that Amazon Music has launched podcasts. I'm reading it with emphasis intended. Check out our shiny new Amazon Music podcast homepage. And if you click on it on your phone, of course, it goes straight to an app store, which I didn't want. I think I can log in on the browser here. Hold on.
Let's see. That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Let me just double check. Okay. So looking at it right now, and they've got, it's very typical at the top, Serial, 99 Invisible, What the Fuck with Marc Maron, Radiolab, What's Trending. I'm not sure how they know it. Well, of course, we know how they know what's trending. No Rogan. Zero Rogan.
Really?
No, okay. I think he's in there, but he's not being promoted because they're going to also silo a whole bunch of talent. Rogan is not in there.
Huh.
No.
Okay.
And if I do No Agenda, it's quite interesting what I come up with. It's a lot of it I've seen on the index, on podcastindex.org. Here. There's no shows, but No Agenda Sundays, No Agenda a Chat. So we're not in there. But they kind of act like it, and I had to read the email a couple times because you come upon this line. If you've already submitted your podcast to our service, You can search for your show here, which I just did. Click on search field.
That's a bag. Yeah, that's a bag.
Yep. Click on the search field. Enter your show name. Under podcast section, you should see your show art. All you'll need to click on see all. Clicking on your show art will take you to Amazon Music show page. You can grab your show page link by copying the URL. And then it says for details on how to add a listen on Amazon Music button. So they don't really say, like, hey, submit if you're not on here.
So does that mean you have does that mean that No Agenda has a shadow page on there?
Could be.
And if you go activate it, then it's like, boom, you're in there.
Well, I don't see where you'd activate. So here's the podcast, but you would have to have some kind of
Your page and do all this kind of stuff.
I don't have a login, you know,
feels like they got you teed up to where, I mean, it's like even if you blink wrong, you're in there. You know?
Well, with me, that would add everything I own. So
yeah, true.
Too much blinking.
Yeah, true.
So anyway, I think we just became more relevant with what we're doing to ensure, and there's a lot going on. I mean, Amazon, their initial terms of service, which I did see because I know they sent that to me. I saw that early on. Which I think they went back and changed, stated, you sign up for this, you can't say anything disparaging about Amazon or Amazon products. And there was a bit of outrage over that, a small bit. And I think that got removed from the terms of service. But I've never signed up, so I'm not in there. Anyway.
And that's a personal decision that you made, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is. I haven't really discussed it with my partner, Dvorak, but I think he would agree. People already know how to get their podcast. It's when Google Play first started, and that's another. You know, you can't opt out of Google Play. You have to put a piece of code in your feed so Google knows not to index it.
Oh, like a robots.txt.
Yeah, not literally. That is also an option, but that will take several weeks. And that won't show up, of course, in Google search. They claim if you say I don't want it listed there. I just keep my eye on it. I mean, I'm not really against it per se, but if it has to be through an app I don't want it. It's like you're making money off of our product, and people can get it any other way they want. And how hard is it to just push another app?
Yeah.
You know, they can be Disney Plus and Netflix and all that, and one box over is an app, and that's where you can get other stuff. And I'd like it to be a multitude of cool apps.
Well, you know, all you're doing really when you participate in that, I mean, I'm not criticizing anybody who does, but the real thing is when you participate in that sort of siloed system, you're just perpetuating that propensity to build another silo and create more exclusive content. And, you know, the exclusivity has been in the, you know, video game world. It's been in the book publishing world. It's been there for a long time, but now it's in the podcasting world, and there's this land grab to try to get the next exclusive thing. And to me, those aren't really even podcasts. I mean, if it doesn't have a feed, it's not a podcast. It's just a show.
Exactly.
And so it's just a show. I mean, like, yeah. All you're doing is pretend, you know, like if you say, okay, I want my stuff in your silo, well then everybody, let's just say you have 10,000 of the most popular podcasts, those 10,000 just give legitimacy to that silo's ability to have 5 exclusive shows that nobody else gets to have.
Right.
And so they're just using your product to build their own exclusive product that you can't have.
And we're going to run into a much bigger problem, I believe, because we've already kind of sold ourselves and our souls down the river with the whole app ecosystem, which you could have seen coming. I think we talked about it on the last, maybe the first episode. It's very possible that someone who says, although we have apps that are doing it, someone says, you've got this app, you connect to this open index. And you know, as Google Play has said about some apps for Mastodon servers, or maybe all of them, oh, well, you can connect to horrible hate speech. It's very possible that that will get rejected, that a podcast app will get rejected from these stores. That's how far we've let it come. So yeah. I would say, in addition to just a great page where you can search and play around with some podcasts, and you could add all kinds of functionality in there. A lot of podcast apps will take an OPML feed of OPML file of RSS feeds. You could have that import into your app. There's a million things you can do, but how about just a plain old web app? It would be great. I would love to have a web app for my iPhone. That'd be fantastic.
Just a wrapper around search and play.
Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm looking for. And I think that it's becoming more clear to the developers that I've seen and witnessed the numbers that are showing up. Like, okay, wait a minute. You know, this is something that legit we can build out. And tell me about some of the stuff that has come up. I've seen a lot of talk about categories, languages, geography, yeah, or geo-coordinates. Where are we in that? Because I saw a flurry of activity. I'm not sure what's going on with it.
That's where most of my work has been over the last couple of days, has been with categories. And we were tossing around some ideas on GitHub about how to do that. And I'm trying to resist my tendency, which is to like blow the whole thing up and create something more simplistic, but that's not necessarily the best idea always. So, I think, James at Pod News has brought a little bit of balance to that. And I think what we're going to do is basically a hybrid. The Apple Podcast categories have always bothered me because I have this just sort of innate dislike of hierarchy, of hierarchical category systems. Okay. It's not a digital native type process. And so there's no reason when you have a database or something that's fast search where there's no reason where you should have hierarchy in your categories. I much prefer just a flat labeling
system. If you need to walk the tree more or less, you have to go into stuff. Is that what you mean? I mean, I'm thinking very simplistically, of course.
Well, so like in Apple's category system, you have games and hobbies. Mm-hmm. And then as a subcategory of games and hobbies, you have video games. Like, to me, I just don't understand the reason for the hierarchy.
Seems to me like that hierarchy can be created after the fact, the way someone wants to present the data.
Yeah. See, that's the thing.
I'm a developer.
Yeah, you're a programmer. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to push this code to you. Yeah. You can finish it for me.
Oh, as long as it's Go. I don't program in anything else.
Oh, you only Go on Linux on an iPad.
On an iPad.
Yeah, okay. All right. You're good. So I just don't understand the reason for that. And there must be something within Apple proper where they like that stuff, because a lot of their stuff is hierarchical and I just don't get it. But that's, you know.
Well, okay. To be fair, because of the way they operate, they are both sides of the equation. So they're the guys that have, you know, the index, and they also have the app, and they've got the phone, and they've got the people, and they've got the whole kit and caboodle, and they want to. They have their own idea of how they want to present things. Because ultimately, I think categories always comes back to what's popular, what's the chart look like. You know, it's going to come back to that. And it's for advertising purposes. It may be handy, but I agree with you. You can just have video games, handheld games, console games, PC games, iPhone games. And then on the back end, anybody who has I'm just realizing that now I'm understanding it. Any kind of way you want to surface that data, you make your own categories. So we don't have, there's no fight, right?
Okay, that's exactly right. So you kind of nailed it. So what we've ended up settling on is both. Okay, so you have the standard Apple category list, which everybody kind of adheres to now. Everybody understands it. Fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whatever. So, but then also what we did is we took that Apple categories list and just basically deduplicated it and converted it into just a flat list.
Okay. And that, yes. And that goes in tandem, or how does that work? That's, we're just keeping one set of categories. Is fencing in there?
That, well, if, no, I don't know. Well, actually, I have the list right here.
SQL select.
Fencing is not in there. No.
See, okay. What's up with that?
But well,
how do I get a, how do I get a category added?
That's your sport, right? In yes. Fencing your sport.
I 40 years ago, I was quite good.
Okay. But you're still, if you did a fencing podcast today and that had a category, you would be number one tomorrow.
Oh man. You would I could be number one on the charts.
Yes. Top of the charts. Okay, but cricket is in there.
I don't know. Cricket. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So,
but it's a valid question. Do categories ever get added? Is this, we're set and it's good? And what if some new economic model appears? Can we never have a category for that or a different country?
Yeah, I think that the categories expand very slowly and with much deliberation. Because the way this is going to work is that, so you have in Apple, the category list, you had hobby, there's a category, a top level category called hobbies and games, or games and hobbies. I don't remember which order it comes in. So it's hobbies and games. Well, now we have a label games and a label hobbies.
Hobbies. Okay. And you can combine those two Boolean.
Exactly. So what we'll do is if somebody in the metadata that we return when somebody want to say this podcast has these categories, we will have the list of categories, hobbies, games, blah, 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 blah. But then we'll also have something, if they request it in Apple format, we'll give it back in hobbies and games.
I hate to be a douche about it, Dave.
No, douche it up.
The Fenced In Podcast, Tokyo 2020 Fencing Podcast, British Fencing, BU Be Different Fencing Podcast, Fencing, the exceedingly complicated sport you claim to be master of, Fencing Fanatics, USA Fencing Coach Education, The Fencing Update. I would have to work real hard, man, to be number one in that category.
If you get in there, you're going to be an also-ran. You're not even going to be listed.
People, make one of these searches for yourself. This is great. This is so fun.
I saw somebody on Twitter the other day. I think it was somebody got retweeted, and they said, "Good morning, everyone. Just a reminder, you don't have to start a podcast." Because there's like a million and a half of them. Which also, see, on the category thing, that's why I've not really been too concerned about it. Some people have been like, you don't have categories? What the heck? I mean, like, what are you doing? What are you even thinking? And I mean, I knew we would get to it. I mean, we're going to get there eventually. And we're doing it right now. But at the same time, okay, there's 1.5 million podcasts out there. Like, yeah. What does a category really get you? I mean, I think nobody's going to go into the index and say, okay, show me all the news podcasts and I'm going to pick one.
Well, see, this is the thinking, which I've never, I'm not so sure it works that well. The thinking is, and go if you look at Amazon or you look at Spotify or look at Apple, that's literally what they have. News podcasts, music podcasts. You know, so it's their vision of their consumer, which I think is probably right. The typical Apple consumer probably thinks that way.
Yeah.
You know, if it were me, I'd be like, I'd like a category, public radio. You know, to me, it's just tags, really. And that brings me to my next question, which is, how good is the search? The search that we have right now, how good is it?
I think that's got to be an open discussion, because I think I haven't not found what I'm looking for yet. And that's, but see, I think that comes back to the fact that just like you, I've been in the computer world so long that there is an art form to searching for things.
True.
And I see it every day with, tech support is part of my job. And I see it every day of people that just don't understand the art of search. And so since, you know, that when you go to Google for something, I can Google for it and find something in 15 seconds.
Right.
Whereas somebody who's not used to the way that search is supposed to work can, they can spend hours and not find what they need.
So, but,
and I think
our search, our search is not Boolean though, right?
No, it is not Boolean right now.
Okay.
But I think really what the discussion needs to revolve around, and this is what I was trying to get at, is that I don't think I'm a good candidate to tell you how good the search is because I kind of know how it works. But I think the open discussion needs to be which pieces of metadata get indexed and become searchable. Because I think that really dictates the whole thing. Because at first, what we were doing is we were indexing podcast title, description field, and that was getting everything in the world.
Right.
But we backed that off to just title, iTunes owner, yeah, name owner. Tag. Mm-hmm. And there's about three pieces of data that we're indexing. And what that helped was now you can type in like New York Times and you can get all the New York Times podcasts, but you don't get everybody who references New York Times in their description field.
Right.
And so I think it's pretty good, but I think it can get better if people just want to pipe up and give us advice. You know?
Yeah, because I've seen some searches where it does spit back just too much. You know, I really like just getting the shows.
Yeah.
Episode search, I mean, it's something that I'm totally open to, but I never use an episode search. It's just not how I think about when I'm looking for a podcast. Like, can I find
a podcast? There's over 30 million in there already.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's kind of the direction Apple wants to go with transcriptions and the transcribing some stuff for some podcasts and have hosts files for some hosts and stuff. So they're doing something over there. And they hired some kind of executive.
I just don't see that being useful at all.
What do you see as being most useful?
Well, you know, I think it's really just it's targeted metadata. Or maybe the other idea that you could come at would be just, do you know what a stop word list is?
Maybe.
Okay. So like, if you're Google or you're doing some sort of, search algorithm, you want to have a humongous list of words that just don't register. So you want to have like the, and as all these kind of words.
Yeah, of course.
And you want to say, I don't ever want to even touch, I don't want to index these words at all.
Right.
And the better the search, usually the bigger their stop word list is. And so, I mean, your stop word list can be, you know, 100,000 words or more.
Right.
Of things that just are polluting they pollute your index and don't help.
Right.
So I think the way I envision it in my mind is that eventually we will have a very large stop word list and we will begin to index the description field. But the stop word list will be robust enough to cut the noise out because that brings in some cool stuff like people's names.
Yeah.
You know, things like if you're looking for somebody's name that you wanted to see, they maybe had somebody interviewed this person and they've got a unique name that would bring that in. I kind of see it going there, but I really do think that this is a place where people can really help.
It's interesting. I was just asked to review and comment on an academic book about podcasting.
Oh, really?
That's yeah. Cool. And I said, well, actually, my book is in final edits. Would you mind answering some questions? I said, no, I want to read your book first. I have to get permission from the publisher, et cetera. Okay, finally got it. It's so sad to see how it's a perfect overview of commercial radio, going back to Tesla, going back to Faraday, actually. So way too much history about radio, AM, FM, very abbreviated history of podcasting, but all along it's all about the commercial aspect and who owned the stations and what advertisers and how can your business, it's an academic book, but it just seems it's all coordinated around how do I make money? Yeah. Which is kind of sad because, and I think this is where we can shine, or people who connect with our index and work on great new experiences, great new ideas, because there's so much out there, so many other ways to, in fact, this, what we're doing here, the whole thing is value for value. All we ask is that you support us with your time, your talent, your treasure, whatever you can. We've got a PayPal link on the developer page, on the homepage. I'm working on my BitPay server.
So, oh, did you get it?
Yeah.
You sent me a screenshot. That's right.
Yeah, I need you to connect to my Lightning node so we can,
yeah, cool.
See if we can pass stuff back and forth. Yeah.
That's, did we ever figure out if Cash App, does Cash App do Lightning? Did we ever figure that out?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they got an API for it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send you some money.
Yes, send me some money. But those of you who want to support the project, we got it. It was really great. We got a couple thousand dollars since the launch, which is fantastic. How are we doing, by the way, on the server situation? I know you spun up a couple more things. And
yeah.
What's the overview?
Yes, it's going fine. We're about $250 a month at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll settle out somewhere between that. And somewhere south of 300 is what I expect. And I think that'll be fine for a while. Hopefully that'll keep us.
And as that scales up, is that something that Cloudflare then handles a lot for, or?
Well, Cloudflare has been helping a lot. Just having them in front of us. Yeah. That has helped a lot. Just taking some of that cash heat off of us. The one thing we really, that we do need help with, and this is something that I just don't have any experience with. It's one of those things that I know about, but I've never implemented, is rate limiting. And because you can do it at a few different levels. Mm-hmm. If we do it at the Cloudflare level, it's going to cost a lot of money.
Really?
And it's unpredictable. Yeah.
Oh, we don't want that.
No. We don't want that. And so, but we can do it at the Nginx level or at the app level. And I probably prefer it at the Nginx level. And so if anybody has, I'm going to be digging into that soon, but if anybody has advice on, you know, or sample configs or anything like that, they can send, that would also be very helpful and valuable. But that's something we need just as a fallback, just to keep people from, you know, hammering the system and taking it down by accident.
Yeah. Cause I think accident would be the only way you can really hurt us. I don't see many other ways.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really care about, I think it's really just somebody that doesn't know that they're hitting us too hard.
Right,
I'm not
overly
concerned about somebody who's doing something legitimate. And I think we can handle that.
Yeah. What else do you need?
Not a whole lot. I mean, we're getting such support from, you know, from people. I needed help with a course config on Nginx.
Can you explain to me what that is? Because I looked at that, like, what is this course thing? I've heard of it. I know it has something to do with a browser, but I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it's CORS. It's cross-origin. I think it's resource sharing. Cross-origin resource sharing.
Oh, is this a security thing that comes into play?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so by design, web browsers, JavaScript running in a web browser is subject to the same origin policy. So it cannot communicate with anything except the domain that it was served from.
So unless you have a CORS policy that allows it, is that how it works?
Yeah, exactly. So we would have to set up on our server, which we've done now, to allow other JavaScript running from other domains to hit us.
I've seen this on AWS Bucket, probably. That's where I've seen it before. Okay, so I understand.
Absolutely.
What that is. I got it. And so that's working now.
Yeah, it's working fine. And the only, you know, of course, your risk there is that you open yourself up to a denial of service attack. But, you know, we got Cloudflare, so.
Yeah, hopefully that should mitigate.
Yeah, we'll bring that into play if necessary.
So what do you think is coming up in the, you got a weekend. I know you've had a long week. You've been working really, I've seen what you've been doing on the index. I know you've also been doing your regular job. What do you see as the timeline? Where are we at? What's just, what is your feel?
I feel really good about things. I mean, I feel good about where we're at so far. The category thing is a big hurdle. Once we get that working well, then I think really the next focus for me is going to be to stop and do some infrastructure work. I need to slow down and make sure everything's documented and make sure we all of our backup procedures and everything, make sure that all that's looking good. Just, you have to stop every now and then and just double check that stuff. And then it's, and then next after that is really just going to be, shifting gears. Cause here's an idea I've gotten, and I think I mentioned this to you the other day, is splitting the API in a sense. Okay. So what you would have in my mind is you would have the API as it stands now, which is for interacting, with the index, which would be adding feeds,
adding retrieving queries.
Complex searches, things like that. But then we would have this other thing. Okay. And so it would be two object storage repositories. So basically it would be like miniature versions of S3, and you can run that with a thing called MinIO. Have you ever heard of that?
Well, I saw you post about it for the image server. So that's, is it like just a little thing that does almost like an application specific server?
Yeah. It's like S3 a bucket, in a box.
Okay. I got you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's compatible with the S3 protocol. Ah. It's completely self-contained.
Except it's much cheaper. Let me guess.
Free.
Hey, exactly. Hey, now.
which perfectly fits our lack of money.
Yes. So, yeah. this fits within the business model. Very good.
Yeah. The Venn diagram between them and us is perfect. It's 100% overlap.
Yeah, it's one big circle.
Yes. Yeah. So the MinIO server, we can spin those up. They're lightweight. And then you basically it takes a folder on your Linux box and turns it into the bucket. And so when you add in folders and files, they just show up as objects.
This is the thing that Dave Weiner was trying to make happen. Man, this has got to be almost 20 years ago. He had this. He called it the upstreaming folder. And he had a little radio.
Heard of this.
Yeah, he had a little radio user land, which was his app, which is basically you access it through a web browser going through port 5337 locally. And the app was just in the background. Well, you know, kind of his whole, it was like a scaled down version of Frontier. And he had this application that would create a folder on your desktop, and whatever your server settings were, I think at the time was probably FTP for most of it. You just drop it in there, and then whoosh, it would appear and would be in the cloud, or on your server. It's the same system, which is, I think, the original kind of Dropbox idea.
Oh, was that all running on the RPC cloud type protocol?
Maybe later, but not in the beginning. But anyway, so I understand what MinIO does.
Yeah. Here's the scope here, or the vision. We have two MinIO servers. One is called feeds.podcastindex.org. The other one is images.podcastindex.org.
Oh, I feel you.
And
you can just mount that shit from any computer in the world, and you've got all that shit in there. Files.
You don't even need to hit the API. You don't need to hit the API. You just, if you know the feeds ID, you just make a GET request to feeds.podcastindex.org/ the feed ID / the metadata file name, whatever we're going to call it. And it's the same, it's the equivalent of calling the get feed by ID API that we have now.
Except zero strain on the database.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
I like it.
We're constantly, and we would be constantly putting updating those feeds out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so anybody can get a...
Well, you know what? I know where you're going, Dave Jones. You're not fooling me. I know what's next.
Maybe I don't know what's next. you fooled me. You reverse fooled me.
IPFS.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bingo. Yeah.
It's perfect. Obvious. IPFS is perfect for that.
Because then you have the IPNS, the name system, and it just points to the object.
Oh, people. Where are my IPFS people? Where are my IPFS boys and girls?
Yeah. We need the IPNS stuff pointing to the object stores. And then it's just like completely static and it never changes. And then, okay, so it's the same thing on the image side. Because James was talking about this the other day. He was saying, he said, you know, he had two problems. He's like, I'm uncomfortable just loading random images off a million places on the internet.
That's a very valid point, because you don't know what's going to show up. I'm sure a lot of people are like, oh man, let me put something cool in there.
Yeah, exactly. And so he's like, I got that problem. And I've also got the fact that when you do that, it's slow.
Because you're coming, you're coming from God knows where.
Yeah, a million places. And so like if you load up an HTML5 podcast app, and you're loading 25 podcasts on the screen at once, and they're coming from all these different image locations. You can see it in the search now on our page. Mm-hmm. It loads slow sometimes.
Yeah, it's because of the images. And right now, because of something we changed, even though it's really interesting. You know, I published a whole new feed. No aggregator I know of has picked up the changes to the images in the entire feed, only for the new episode, because I changed the URL, as you know. Uh-huh. And so all the aggregators only, of course, look at the first one, but here's the conundrum, or the new items, and they get the images correctly. So, for instance, now the image for this podcast will show up in the index, because even though I changed the feed, the aggregator just has the old stuff in there. The only way I think to do it is to change the GeoID or the published date for each individual item, which could probably trigger a huge re-download of hundreds of thousands of apps.
Totally would.
So that's why I don't do that. It's actually a flaw in the system. It's a flaw. Yeah. It's a flaw in the system.
And see, if that... See, I'm going to search for you in the index. I think we picked you up, didn't we?
It's in there, but I think the...
No, we got your... This got all the images.
But if you do podcasting 2.0...
Is it still... Because it hasn't updated yet, right?
Yeah, because I haven't updated the feed. Yeah. Even though the images are correct in the feed. But yeah, I'm like, I've learned over the years, a bad idea is to, especially with no agenda, where we have a lot of, you know, we push we get max at a terabyte per second
crap.
Oh yeah. Now that only lasts for, I think, I want to say 10 minutes, and then they throttle it down.
See, that's why you're the exception. It's not the rule.
It's unbelievable. So, you know, when I fuck up something in the feed, which I have done, it causes massive, massive problems. Yeah. Mainly people emailing me saying, what? What? What is this? It doesn't work. I can't find it. Where's the file? iTunes doesn't like it. It's not on Google Play. Stitcher's no good. It's like it goes on forever. Even to republish, it's a bad idea.
How many times do you double check and eyeball that feed before you hit push it?
Not enough.
Not enough.
Not enough. Nope. There's still way too much manual work in there. It's small things. It's like episode number off by one, you know, there's a lot more I should and could automate, but it's just, and now I have this whole checklist. And even then, you know, if I, let's put it this way. If it was pre-flight and I was flying, I probably would have been dead by now. I've made so many mistakes. So many mistakes.
Yeah. You'd be at the end of the runway in a heap.
I'd sully that shit right in the East River.
Right. Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. That I think is a fantastic idea. And this is part of the mission. And a lot of people saying, distribute it. Well, here is the opportunity. We can distribute the actual feeds interplanetary wide, and there's many other ways to do it, but IPFS is just, I think IPFS is waiting for this.
I think so too. I think this is a great use case for it. Like, and I, so like the image thing, it was like dead simple. I mean, James mentioned that, and I think, and we rolled that in like a day,
right?
I mean, that's it's working. So, I mean, and it pulls every, you know, when a feed hits, it automatically pulls the image and resizes it into four different resolutions and sticks it in the object store. I mean, like, it's
beautiful.
I haven't made it live yet, cause I'm just going to make sure I don't want to get too deep into that yet, but I think that is absolutely the direction to go. Then we push it through IPFS, and then we don't even have to worry about those calls hitting the index. I mean, hitting the API, and what we could even do is just like when an API request comes in, to one of those endpoints for a feed, we just redirect, we just 301 it over to the object store. Don't even pull out of the database.
I'm kind of jacked about this because it's such an, I didn't know we would get to this so quickly. It's such a beautiful use case for IPFS. High volume, mm-hmm. lots of changes, global in nature, lots of people who can contribute and seed. I mean, there's tons of people can help seed if we need that.
Yeah. We just seed the whole, we could just seed the whole back end, you know?
Yeah, we need the pinner. The pins, I guess, would be a more accurate description. You need a pin servers. So we'd be a pin server.
Okay.
But you want to have as many as possible. And anybody can help with that.
Yeah, I would love is to have the IPFS stuff working. And then on the HTTP side, have people R clone our server, you know, rsync our server, or whatever protocol we figure out for that. And then we just have multiple people that are running copies of it.
Exactly.
For the image database. Mm-hmm. And then we can just round robin the DNS so that it's coming from somebody. Yep. You know, so it's coming. And we just share the load. And that's another way people can share value.
Well, you said it. We can share the load.
I'm going to give you the whole load today.
I mean, you're triggering that shit. It's your fault.
At least once. At least once every week. We need it
at least once. That's a good spot to be, I guess.
Yeah, and I was thinking a lot of people, I guess the natural question is why. There's already some directories and stuff like that out there. I mean, what's the point? You know, why are you doing this again, so to speak? And you know that our vision for this obviously is to preserve podcasting as a platform for freedom of speech. We want to make, you know, that's the mission, is to make where everybody is not dependent on one single
entity,
corporate player. We're a business too. We're an LLC, but basically that's just because we have to have some place to pay the bills. But the real drive here and the real aim is to make it where the whole world of podcasting, which is on the technical level, is chaos.
Yeah.
And we've said this before, but I think we've maybe not been super clear about it, is for anybody to get into this game as a developer look at Amazon Music, for instance. It took them how long to bring up their system?
Quite a while.
Yeah. I mean, months of work to bring up their system, because they got to build aggregators. They got to do all this jazz to make sure everything is normalized. It's a lot of work. And so
you could have had a career, Dave Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. I could have, instead of, being the back end guy for the No Agenda show for 10 years, which is not lucrative, by the way.
Well, you got one dinner out of it so far.
I did. I did. And creme brulee, which was top notch.
Hey, hey, hey.
It was very, very
You remember
good.
The creme brulee crap.
creme brulee and God, I forgot what drink that was I had. It was like...
Did we go to Fix? Is that where we went?
I don't...
F-I-X-E?
I don't remember. It was down sort of like... It was a few blocks away from your house, and then it was on sort of a main drag that was going down a hill.
I don't remember.
But then they had like this this drink. It was some sort of like gin or something. I forget, but it had like jalapenos in it.
Yeah. Yum.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like bathroom city the next day. You know, the gin and jalapenos.
Yum.
They go fast. They go through you very fast.
You're just renting them temporarily.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Just on that for a second. Just to reiterate this. I called you and I said, look, here's what I see happening. I see we're going to have the same kind of streaming wars where we have, and it's not really a war, but, you know, I know people who make documentaries. They pitch them to Amazon, they pitch them to Netflix. And depending on what's going on in their world and their corporate mission, they're either hot for it or they're not hot for it. You know, and this is how you eventually wind up with stuff like cuties. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that goes wrong, and or is just it's about commercial interest and stats, and the art kind of, in my opinion, the art kind of gets lost, and you and people get locked out, pushed down. I mean, this was what happened originally with podcasting, is that the surfacing of the shows, and anyone who was around then will remember the griping and grunting and groaning. It was all NPR. It was the safe stuff. And, you know, in fact, the as we both talked about, the first thing Kara Swisher pointed out when she heard about podcasts receive jobs is, how do we tag that, you know, if it's bad or naughty or horrible words? And that is, so when we say preserving podcasting as a platform for free speech, that is exactly what it's about. And in order to do that,
a platform. That's the key word.
Thank you. And the platform.
You have to preserve the whole platform, not just the podcasters.
It has to be everybody. And the group that never got the chance, in my opinion, is the podcast app developers, people who have players, search, people who want to do charts, directories, indexes, highlights, whatever it is you want to do, that's what we want to serve. And moving this to an interplanet, that's what IPFS stands for, people who don't know, interplanetary file system, where truly it's global distribution in nature. You really can't take stuff down at a certain point. It's just out there. And from our perspective, we might get lucky and we'll say, oh, here's something that we can do that'll provide added value to the platform. But we realize there's no platform. So that's what we're building. And the platform is being, we have 50 people in the Mastodon. Don't know how many are actually developers, but I consider everyone to be developing one way or the other. And the contributions will benefit everybody, and everybody will be able to create whatever they want. And we'll see where it goes. That's the 2.0 part. And there's, I've lots of ideas, and you have ideas, and I see people coming up with great, great questions and thoughts. Once we get this part done, it should be easy.
I think that's the other, maybe the other issue is that I remember reading a while back, I forgot how long ago this was or even what it was about, but it was a guy talking about a product that he had made, and it ended up being mildly successful. And just to interject, though, for us, success doesn't mean that we make more money. Success probably means that money gets tighter because the bills go up.
Yeah, so we're doing a good job.
Yeah, exactly. So when I say success, I just mean success in the mission. But this guy was talking about how he had built a product. It was a web-based thing. And he said he got into the mindset of how he couldn't release the product yet because he needed to add this new feature. And well, he would add that feature and he said, okay, well, I can't. Yeah, but it's still not there yet. I got to add this other feature.
Yeah.
And he just kept doing this and doing this. And he made this comment, and I've never forgotten it. This is probably 10 years ago. He said, there's never a time when not having a product is better than having a product.
Yeah. I'm in total agreement.
And so we've opened up the podcast index to people with a whole lot of warts and a crappy user interface and all that stuff. But the thing had to be, it had to live and it had to be out there. And so all that stuff, no categories, these things are getting fixed on a week, you know, daily and weekly basis. And it is getting better. At no point was not having an open source free index better than having one, even if it's not complete and some sort of amazingly shiny thing that'll blow your socks off.
Totally agree. And I look forward to the day, which will happen, when I can look at a smartphone screen. And yeah, I may see Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and I want to see 40 other apps that do all kinds of crazy stuff with podcasts.
Yeah.
And
be awesome.
Cause that's the competition. You know, your competition is now one icon on a launch board from a smartphone away. I mean, that's, and it's for anybody to have. I mean, personally, Spotify's interface is atrocious. It doesn't start half the time. It's confusing where the video is. That's just their vision of it. And they're so busy. And right now they've got all kinds of problems with rogue feeds, etc. We know what they're going through.
You sent me something the other day. It's like half their guys are like walking out in protest about Rogan or something like that.
There's that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, and no matter what happens with Joe or any other show that may be exclusive to someone, the speculation is enough. And that's what I've always said. It's like when people know that there's a walled garden, just like America Online, eventually they're like, all I got to do is get this one other app, or here's this web app. Oh, now look what I can get. I can get everything I want. Mm-hmm. And if I want to do a podcast tomorrow, and it consists of me burping and doing ASMR and a microphone, and I put it up through Blueberry or any other system, it'll be in the index and available immediately to however many apps, way before you get onto Apple.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like, isn't that what we all want? Is that if I add something, going back to what we talked about at the beginning of this show, of this episode, is like, I think we all want a system where if I add on Blueberry, or if I add on Transistor, or if I add on Libsyn, that it immediately becomes available in all these apps, that we don't have to wait for it to go through iTunes review or whatever they do. I mean, like, I think we all want that thing to happen, because that is turning the distributed world of podcasting into its own platform that does not depend on someone.
And this will, right now, if you have an idea for an audiobook, let's say you want to do chapters, with the open system and an open platform, you can kind of do it however you want. I guarantee you that Amazon, if you have an audiobook that you want to publish as a podcast, well, I can't guarantee you, but I'm quite sure that eventually, if not immediately, they will say, no, you belong over here in the Audible section. You don't belong in podcasts. Yeah. And they're going to tell you what, this is my problem with this academic book. It's telling me what a podcast is. Bull crap. A podcast can be, I just subscribed to one that I found in the index. I found that on the carousel. It said President Trump speeches. Well, that's handy. And lo and behold,
there's a podcast of only the speeches.
Yeah, here, Trump.
That is so interesting. Speeches. That should be for every president.
Oh my God! This has speeches by the First Lady, by President Trump. Someone's also doing.
I'm looking at it right now.
Isn't that cool?
That is so interesting, man. What like that?
So there's nothing against that. It doesn't have to be a show. That's a service. That's a public. C-SPAN should be doing this. I've already said before, I think, on No Agenda, C-SPAN should do a podcast feed. Let's just call it that. We call it podcast. Of their callers.
With all the crazy callers.
With the crazy callers, man. I would listen to that every day. Just give me a couple of those.
That'd be great.
I mean, the way I saw it, the way I envisioned it, original way back in the day, even before Podshow/Mevio, was why can't I just have a weather report prop up for my area code or my city or my state, and every morning when I go to look at what's happening, what's new, oh, there's the weather report. Now it's a silly example, because it's probably easier to just look at it on your phone and look at the pretty sun and the clouds. But there's a lot of things that could be done like that.
Oh, yeah. There's a podcast I listen to called Storm Center from the Stormcast. That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
From the guys at ISC. And it's basically just a 5-minute daily, it publishes every morning, 5-minute daily review of the previous day's cybersecurity news. And I have to listen to it every day on my way to work just to make sure that I'm not missing anything. So if you had lots of those types of deals, and
I'd love for a professor to say, okay, I hope you enjoyed the lecture. It'll be on the podcast in 10 minutes. I just got to upload the MP3. Cool. And a professor doesn't have to worry about getting approval and going through this whole process. I mean, yeah, ultimately, if you want to be listed through Apple, but who knows where they're going? I mean, Apple could see the writing on the wall. I mean, Apple has also tried to compete with Netflix, with Apple TV Plus. You know, they have a creator relations person, which sounds like an illness. creator. I've never liked this creator.
You don't like that word.
No, I don't know why it irks me so bad, but it's like I'm a creator. No, man, I'm a podcaster.
Does it bother you because it implies that other people are not creative? Is it because of the exclusivity of it?
Honestly, it feels more like a God thing to me. You are a creator. I'm like, I'm doing a podcast. And I don't know if I'm a creator. Okay. I think it puts a false. It's also back to my example, a university professor who puts his, puts his stuff online, and it can be every session he does or every class or whatever it is. It's not necessarily a creator. It's a professor. Who has his shit up there in a podcast? You know, it sets this false sense. Okay, here's my problem, I guess, and it's deep within me because I haven't really thought about it. It sets the tone of this has got to be entertainment. This has to be a show. Whereas I've never agreed with that. I've used enclosures for PDFs. You know, bad on me. I had reasons to do it. You know, technically, there's no reason you can't do that. Just depends on what you're reading it with. But the idea that a kid can say, I'm going to do a podcast, and within, an hour can go to his or her friends and say, hey, get that app over there and search for my podcast. That's a big deal.
And that can't function without this idea of, I mean, that can't function without the open platform.
Yep.
It really just can't. I mean, like if there is, President Trump's speeches, for instance, it's no secret that half the world hates Trump. And there's plenty of people that would love to, like, if this podcast had to get approved through, some third party, I mean, some of them may not even approve it.
It's possible.
So, I mean, there's, and the thing is, it's not just whatever your political bent. The things change, and you have to be aware of that. Social movements shift over time, and so we heard this with Biden and even Obama to a certain extent. You know, years ago they ran on a platform of being anti-gay marriage.
Right.
And then they changed over time because the society moved that direction, and they changed, and now they don't hold those positions anymore. Well, society changes, and what is wrong, what is considered, bad or good or whatever moral objection you have to that now can change over time. And also with your political leanings. So you don't want to tie yourself in to any one. Just because you feel that it's okay to censor Alex Jones or Trump or, whoever it is today, well, 5 years from now, they may be those same entities that censored, Alex Jones may be trying to censor somebody that you actually agree with, because the society, the proclivities of society moved and shifted out from under you. And so it's easy to say, well, I don't have a problem with them taking down Spotify, Apple, Amazon, taking down fill-in-the-blank podcaster because I don't agree with their political views.
I'll give you a better example.
Okay.
Apple recently removed either a category or certain podcasts from its Chinese podcast index related to some Catholic podcasts, which is a huge issue right now in China. They're basically creating the CPA. It's like their own Catholic church with their own people. And somehow the Pope is blessing it. So Apple had to comply. Now, we're not in China, but you know what? It can happen here. It can happen anywhere. All this kind of stuff. And that's just the pure censorship part. You know, we say it's a platform for free speech. That's the idea. No one's going to die from this index. That's the bottom line. No one's going to die from this index. It's constitutionally protected. It's a bunch of feeds and pretty soon just be a bucket of feeds. And everyone who is in here now and is developing, I have Dave and I both have a lot of things we could be doing with our life. This brings us much joy. We're very happy that we're doing it. And I think we're going to see some opportunities. The second part of our mission, which we're not there yet, is to retool podcasting as a platform of value. And when we get to that, that's my hope, is that there will be money flowing through the system in the form of actual money or value or something that people will be able to measure, will be able to capture, will be able to feel good about. And once we complete that, I think it's off to the races. I think I'm just so stoked about IPFS and all that. There's so many opportunities. My head is spinning right now. So many opportunities. And we're looking forward to anybody who steps forward with any thinking, any idea. We've got a GitHub. We've got the Mastodon server. And we'll just keep updating on a weekly basis as we go forward. And please remember that we need support for this. It's the 3 T's: time, talent, treasure. If you can support with some funds to keep it going. And to ensure its future for now, until we get to a point where there's something else is going on, we'd really appreciate that at podcastindex.org.
Yeah, and that's the donations. We got a lot of donations at the beginning, and that was fantastic.
It was very encouraging, encouraging.
And then they kind of fell off, predictably over the last week. But if anybody can donate, and it's not just obviously, send us some PayPal if you can, but it's not just that. If you work at a hosting company and you can could help us out with hosting fees or something like that, that would be fantastic too. I mean, anything like that is helpful.
And podcasters, talk to your hosting companies. Make sure that they're integrated. Send them a link to this show so that they can follow along. And I'm happy. We're always open for email and questions. Mm-hmm. And the Mastodon is a great place, and other people jump in, and we're really building a community. I'm quite proud of the work that everybody is doing. And Dave, I got to kiss your ass again, man. You are really doing yeoman's work here. It's unbelievable how much you're also just really good and fast, which just blows me away every single time.
Yeah. One of those two. Sometimes you only get one. You get good or fast, and it alternates between the two. Sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm fast. Maybe not both at the same time.
Never had a complaint. All right, is there anything else we need to cover? We close it down for today?
I guess the only other thing I would say is that there was some concern about this just being a free-for-all, and like there just being a big add your feed button on the page.
Yeah,
and that is not going to happen. That's not going to happen for maybe ever. Instagram, I still don't think to this day they allow posting through their API. People route around that and try to do it illegally. But like, I would much prefer, like we talked about at the beginning, to have integrations with publishers and networks.
Yep.
I don't want the big add your feed button. It's on a main page somewhere where it's a free for all. I don't think anybody wants that. I don't think we want that either.
No, and as we pointed out, by doing it this way, we really do create a platform. A platform that is bigger than just one individual piece, and it becomes redundant. And when that happens, and everybody can start coming up with some different ideas on what to do with the data and the feeds and what is possible, I think it's gonna kick everybody's ass.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
And if not, then we had some fun with some servers.
Yeah. And we have a 30 gig database file.
Yeah, well, there you go. Hey, Damon, have a great weekend. Thank you so much. It was a good week. And we'll catch up again next week. And pretty soon we'll bring in our third partner, the Shill. Guys, he's running the back office and he has some thoughts. And we love him because, and brought him on board because he has all the boring and all the questions we don't want to answer. And
you'll need a terms of service. Yeah. What are you doing?
Well, it's important. These are things that we need to talk about. And I think we're coming up to that. Within a week or two, we'll probably be pretty close to some of those questions. And that's what he does. And that's why I've learned. I've started a lot of companies. And if you can get the guy who will ask you those irritating questions, it's a good thing to have. So it's a very good thing to have.
Hey, can we interview some? Can we interview somebody on this show sometime?
I'd like to. Let's do it next week. Who do you want to have on?
Oh, whoever will talk to us. I mean, James is in Australia. That might be a
mixed timing. It's possible, but it sucks.
I don't know. We'll figure somebody out.
All right. Raise your hands, everybody. That's it. Episode number 3. We're going to leave it there for now. We'll be back. We'll do another show on Friday. We'll see if we can bring somebody in. If someone has got my eye on the Mastodon. info@podcastindex.org. I'm Adam @podcastindex.org and Dave @podcastindex.org. If you're not a developer already, if you're a developer, you're not there already, probably get in on it. And get me a web app. Damn it. I want to see a web app. Give me a search or something fun to look at. Hey, Dave, have a good weekend, buddy.
All right, you too, bro.
Thank you so much. Okay, man. And we'll be back next week to continue podcasting 2.0.